John Longmire is the coach of the Sydney Swans, and he joins us on the show. John, welcome to you. What time did the phone start flashing last night with Damien Hardwick's name on the screen?
G'day, everyone. I was on the bus. We left yesterday morning at the football club at 6:30, and we flew to the Gold Coast, dropped TWS off, and then got a bus up to Brisbane and played the game. So it was by the time we got on the bus to get to the airport last night, it was a reasonably long day. So, it wasn't long after the game when we got on the bus, and Dewey gave me a quick call.
And did you settle it there, John? Because these are extraordinary times. You're basically pretty well best of mates, and all of a sudden you're sparring from, I don't know, 200 metres away.
That's what happens in the industry sometimes, Jared. We all compete, I think if personally I wouldn't like to do it through the press, but sometimes you've got to defend yourself in footy club, so that's what I did today.
Did he concede straight away over the phone, John, that he got it wrong with his explanation of what happened?
Not so much got it wrong. He just apologised for the comments. So I don't think it was probably the right forum to discuss each other's tactics. And I think that's probably the point of the phone call. So, I absolutely appreciate the call. He's a good fellow, Dimmer. So, he and I know each other pretty well. We've been coaching a long time against each other, and it was good of him to give me a call.
Ross Lyon was criticised for a decade for keeping an extra back, but in reality, all he was doing was maintaining his six. Coaches had put an extra one and potentially two blokes up the ground, which I suspect is what's happened on this occasion, John. But the bigger issue is that we are just killing this game with congestion in a forward line where you can't defend and get it out, and they can't attack and get it through the sticks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times when teams have a forward stoppage, sometimes they put 8, 9, 10 out. They'll put the forwards up around the ball, and then they'll put a lot of numbers out behind the ball, and so it can be a bit difficult to get out of your defensive half at times, but that's why there's so many big repeat numbers occasionally. But I think at the moment probably there's talk to be had about the game, but there are mitigating factors to it, and I think there's a number of things going on that are proving quite challenging for everyone, every club, and so I think in the end. Certainly some of the discussion can be had, but I think we've just got to also keep in perspective.
John, the Sydney Swans, for even before your time, have become famous for scrounging out games and winning wars of attrition. You love the contest, and you've got a lot of players that are good at it. Granted, you may not have been fully responsible for yesterday's Dower contest, but do the Sydney Swans try to play low scoring games? Would you like to keep the opposition to the lowest score that they can?
Come on, Sam. I mean, let's take a deep breath on that comment too. In the end, there are mitigating circumstances at the moment.
Yeah.
Did you have a look at our team on the weekend? Come on.
Yeah.
So I mean, just put it in perspective. I mean, we're just there's some challenging times at the moment, and there's no need to link the two. Clearly, we want to score more than three goals. And clearly, we'd like some more height to draw the ball forward. I mean, if you're a tall marking forward, you tend to draw the ball forward because, you've got the confidence in that up the ground to get the ball there. And if you're playing against a defence that's really well-structured, experienced, and you've got a young forward line, sometimes that can contribute.
But
let's just separate the two.
But it's not what I'm trying to say, John, is it's not completely incumbent on you as coach to open up the game and try to score as much as you can if it's not going to help your team.
As I said today, very very clearly, if one team wants to play a certain tactic, and the other team doesn't have to always comply. It's very simple. So it's not just about doing what the opposition wants you to do all the time. Sometimes you've got the right to be able to hold your six in place.
Yep.
So it's pretty simple.
Hey, really tough day, John, for you guys. Obviously losing two superstar players, another two off the back of Franklin, Reed. I'm sure I'm missing Hallam Sinclair. The list goes on and on for what you've got missing. Kennedy and also Heaney out as well. Do you start thinking about that with a guy like Buddy Franklin, that if you can't make the finals and all those sorts of things, that do you think to yourself, okay, let's start preparing him for next year?
Not at the moment, Lordy. I mean, you know, to be fair on our whole playing group, we want to keep being competitive, and to be fair on everyone, you know, that we just want to, you know, in the end, you know, we're about also teaching young players how to play, but also it's about competing every week and giving ourselves the best chance to. Now, we don't get everything right every week. We had the youngest team since 1997 for the Sydney Swans on the weekend, and there's a possibility it might be even younger this weekend. So we need to teach them the right way to play. Sometimes we're not going to get it right. And so, but we also want to make sure that everyone on our playing list keeps striving to get back and play, and that includes Lance. And he is absolutely committed to that, like he was at the back end of last year, even though we didn't make finals. He played the last game and played very well, and that helped in his off-season.
The list is depleted. It came in not in its best shape. It's pretty young, but it's depleted again with the injuries Lordy talked about. Have you, in a view of where the club's at the present time, have you thought that you'd be better served if there was a mid-season draft where you could trade places with players from other AFL clubs?
What's happened up here in rugby league, Jared, that seems to happen up here, and what has happened, particularly with the Warriors. I know that the Roosters have been a part of that. It's happened up here. I'm not sure whether it's high on the agenda of the AFL at the moment. It'd be fair to say, I made the comment today, that I completely understand it wouldn't be high on their agenda. They've got plenty on their plate. And so I couldn't see it getting up this year. I don't know whether it'll get up in the future. I don't know whether it's possible, but the NRL have certainly had it happen. And maybe if there was a ruckman somewhere not getting a game, it might be useful.
Yeah, no, I'm not thinking it's going to happen this year. I just think that we do have times where clubs get to a level, and if you've got two or three more, you become uncompetitive. And nobody wins when anybody's uncompetitive. The only thing on the AFL's mind right now is probably head bumps and surviving the season as a competition. But for the long term, I'd like to see it put on the agenda for moments like this.
Well, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, when maybe lists reduce in the future, and who knows what happens there. And obviously, you've still got the 18 clubs across the competition. So, and the real challenge is, a lot of the times, is key position and ruckman across the competition. That does get a bit challenging if you have a few injuries in those parts of the ground. They're very hard to replace.
Alir is one who could replace it, but really, since the break, hasn't returned with any vigour or verve. You've given him a couple of goes. I saw you on one go to the back of the box because Alir went early and didn't spoil the ball, etc. Is he out indefinitely, or is he coming back this week after a spell in the small game?
We're not sure whether he'll play this week or not. We haven't sort of... there was a few other things on our plate today. So, look, he played in our reserves in the weekend. He's never out indefinitely, absolutely. We want him back in the team as soon as we can. We're just going to make sure he's feeling good about himself and confident when he gets back in. Like any player, sometimes you go through some challenges with form, and we need to help him rediscover that. That's what we're absolutely committed to do with him.
I'm not a lip reader, John, but it didn't seem too difficult to read what you said once when the cameras flashed on you. It was about going forward, and I think you were exasperated that the short option was taken, or the sideways option was taken, when clearly you were hoping that the option down the ground was taken. Is that a training issue, or is it just guys who, under pressure, take the easier option, which is sideways?
Is that this on the weekend?
Yeah, on the weekend, yeah.
Well, there's probably a couple of combinations there. I mean, it's a young team, and particularly young in front of the ball. Sometimes they look up. It's very easy from where we sit when you're looking down on it. But when you're at ground level, you look up and you see a very well-structured team behind the ball, and you mightn't see those options. You might just see the jumpers of the opposition, and therefore it puts you in some doubt. You haven't got that bigger body up there to give you that sort of 50-50 contest that sometimes happens, even in a 2v1 situation, so you become a bit reluctant. So it's just a matter of keeping teaching our players, and that's what we'll do.
Nick Blakey just seems to be struggling to find the footy at the moment.
Yeah, he played okay for us last week, and he had three shots at goal on the weekend. Unfortunately, kicked 3 points. He's one of the two players that we had over 194 in the weekend, but he's clearly not overly strong yet, and he's still going into his body. He's probably found it a bit of a challenge as well with those lack of bigger bodies around him. So he just got a, you know, we know he's a class player, and you know, his form's been up and down a little bit. He was a bit better last week, a bit quiet on the weekend, but if he kicks two or three, it's not a bad game.
We ask a lot of young players, and I think people do forget that it's a lot easier playing in a top side as a young player, where you're the 16th in line than if you're a young player and you're the third in line.
Yeah, absolutely. It is like that, and you know, particularly when you've got those experienced bodies around you. I've always been a big fan of that. That if you've got enough experienced bodies around you, not only in a playing sense but in a training sense, to be able to help and train against, that's a really important part. It's a bit of a challenge at the moment because you don't get the chance to train them together very much at all. Early in the week, they're only in small groups, and you only get a brief go at it on the final training session with no competitiveness. So you've got to find other ways to develop. And we try and do that through vision and other things, but you've still got to make sure you try and get that contested work that's invaluable.
John, you would have seen the holding the ball interpretation be manipulated a few times over the years. I'm just interested how you and the Sydney Swans are coaching your players in training to deal with it.
I guess caught us a little bit on the hop, obviously, when they changed the interpretation a little bit. First and foremost, we like to be strong over the ball. We like to pick the ball up and not fumble it. That's number one.
Yep.
But it's making sure that you're also able to fight through the tackle, and we coach that, to be able to fight through the tackle and give it an effective handball out. And that's what we do. First and foremost, you've got to pick the ball up cleanly and then just fight your way through it and try and get the handball release.
So just to clarify, John, for the papers tomorrow morning, you are telling us that you didn't flood the back line.
Well, we had six defenders and we kept our six defenders. It's in my view, others might have different views. I'm sure they do, but in my view, most of the time, that's what we had. That's the plan that we went in with. And that was at stoppages, off-ball support. The Tigers, the best I've seen at it. They caused turnovers better than any other team. And hopefully we'll get to that standard at some stage as well as a team.
And, John, round eight fixture has just come out, and you're down to play the Hawks on Saturday, July 25. Are you expecting to play every 4 to 5 days after that point for a period of time? Have you been informed by the AFL what will happen then?
Not officially, okay. Lloydie. Yes. It's been talked about, and I think it's worth absolutely doing. We've got a big injury list, obviously, that would put pressure on, but I think 5 days is certainly something that we could look at as a competition. Anything short of that, and then put enormous pressure on your playing group. But nothing's perfect in this season, and we know we've got plenty of compromises to make, and we'll try and do what we can to make sure the season keeps rolling along.
Appreciate your time tonight, John, and good luck for the next couple of weeks.
Good on you. Thanks, guys.